build it on the foundation of your love, God. Thank you so much for that, God. Thank you for your Bible, that it has everything we need to live a life in your footsteps, God. Yes. And we just pray tonight as we continue this series that you would open our eyes, God, that, man, that decisions would be made tonight of sin that you're calling us to repent of, God. That decisions will be made tonight just to decide to pray to you more or decide to read the Bible every day, God, that you'll just lead us closer to your heart. Yeah. Father, we love you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, guys, welcome. Welcome back to the Grace Roots series. And tonight, I'm honored to be preaching the word with Mr. Matt Rupert. It's going to be awesome. We're kind of splitting it tonight. But tonight, we're going to be obviously continuing our series. But the main passage we're going to be coming out of is John chapter 1. So if you guys want to turn over there. As soon as I talk about the Bible, the volume goes up. John chapter 1. And this is going to be our main passage. Ooh, that's hot. You could probably turn it down a little bit. Thanks, man. So this passage, raise your hand if you've read John chapter 1 before. You feel like, yeah, I've read this a lot. Raise your hand if this is one of the first passages you read in the Bible. John chapter 1, yeah? A couple of you guys? Raise your hand if you've never read John chapter 1. This is the bold people right here. All right, cool. Awesome. Either we got some liars in the room or you all have read John chapter 1. I don't know which one, but it's all good. So this passage, it really helps us to understand who Jesus is, but it also helps us to understand who we are as his followers. And tonight we're going to be talking about being lights that are full of grace and truth. Right. That sound good?
Yes.
Not just full of grace, just grace. Not just full of truth, but full of both of them. Because when we fill ourselves with grace and truth, that's when we can really be lights. Amen? Yes. And shine Jesus' light. We shine the most when we're people full of grace and truth. And I'm going to mainly be focusing on verses 1 to 13. And Matt will be talking more about the idea of grace and truth together in verses 14 to 18. But again, this is a great passage, guys. So get out your notebooks or whatever you use to take notes. And let's really make sure we're diving in here together and learning from the Word of God. And so I guess the name for this point, you could call it, I guess, whatever you want. But this would be Jesus is the light and so are you. Jesus is the light. And so are you. So let's read here starting in verse 1. John chapter 1, verse 1. You guys ready for this?
Yeah.
You guys ready for the Word of God right now?
Yeah.
Here we go. Verse 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Mind blown. What's going on? Verse 2. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things remain. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Amen. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. Verse 9. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world. And though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of a human decision or of a husband's will, but born of God. Amen? That's some powerful stuff right there. And you know, there is only one being who has always been. And that is God. There's an aspect of God that really never ceases to blow my mind. And it's that God has no beginning or end. You know what I'm talking about? It's like my mind can't fathom that he's just always been. There's no day one and there's no last day. He's just always been. And one day he just breathed out the universe and his expanse of him being. Isn't that crazy? That's our God. But it says that in the beginning was the Word. That Jesus, this Greek word for word is logos, talking about Jesus, was with God from the start. God and Jesus together from the beginning, for all eternity. And so John 1, if you can't tell yet, is really describing to us who Jesus is. That's what John 1 is talking about. But look at verse 4. It says, in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. That's a big statement to say about someone. That someone is the light of all humanity, of all mankind. But Jesus is the light of all mankind, all people, every nation. That's epic. That's incredible. And verse 5 also says that the light, or Jesus, that he shines even in the darkness. And it says the darkness has not overcome it. So that even during dark times in this life or in our world today, Jesus is the only thing that is still able to shine in our darkest moments. Isn't that awesome?
Right.
He's always able to shine, and that there's no way that the darkness is ever going to overcome Jesus in his power. Amen?
Amen.
So the darkness or sin can never and will never overcome Jesus. Even when people hurt you, even when you're feeling in the darkness with a family member passing away, when you're feeling lonely, when you experience just division in the world, you experience hate, even in those moments, guess what? Jesus can still shine through powerfully. No matter what circumstance, Jesus shines through it. Amen? You know, lights shine the brightest in the darkest places. We live in a beautiful world made by God, meant for good, but we also live in a dark world. A dark world full of sin and full of selfishness. You guys experience that at all? Now, that's not breaking news to us, I realize. We're familiar that the world has sin and is dark. But here's some good news, is that now, because of how dark it has gotten, Jesus can shine in the darkness more than he ever has before, right now, in 2020. Jesus can shine more than he ever has before because the world needs him more than it ever has before. And his church, his bride, can shine more than she ever has before. Christ's body, because we're his people, right? And so we're meant to be his light in a dark world. And this really hit me today as I was just kind of meditating on this thought, is that right now, more than ever before, we can shine in the darkness.
Right.
And you guys realize that? That what's going on in this room is really special. And that on your campuses, in your homes, this shines bright, what's going on here in this room. And what you're deciding to do with your life of following Jesus, the world needs this. Amen?
Amen.
And it just kind of got me excited, like, not like, oh, let's be the ones to say we're the light and we're awesome, but hey, world, there's a solution. His name's Jesus, and he is the light. And we're here to let you know that and shine, even when people think the world is without hope. We're able to say, no, there is hope.
Right.
And I know him. And I can tell you about him. Amen. But guess what? Jesus, yes, he's bright, he can shine, but he can't shine without you. Without us. Turn over to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. You know, it's funny, this morning I knew I had to finish this sermon on talking about being a light, and I'm sitting eating my Cheerios in the kitchen, and the sun just like blazes through our kitchen window at the guy's house, and it was like God saying, like, You better not mess the sermon up, dude. Like, I was like, I moved my seat right away. I was like, man, the sun is really powerful. And I started like over spiritualizing the moment. And then I was like, you just need to go to campus now and not be crazy. But anyways, it was just, I felt like it was a God moment saying, yeah, I'm pretty bright, Mark. But let's look here in Matthew chapter 5. We're going to start in verse 15. We're going to read verse 15 to 16. You guys good?
Yes, sir.
Verse 15. Or let's do 14. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Amen?
Amen.
He says, you, yes, you are the light of the world. You are the light or the representative of God's light. And you can be a reflection of who God is, a reflection of who Jesus is to others.
Right.
But he says, you are the light of the world. That's awesome. And that kind of feels like, whoa, really? Me, God? But he's saying, yeah, you. But let's just talk simply here. What does a light do, or a light bulb? It illuminates a space, right? It shines. It gives light, or it exposes what's around it.
Right.
Right? So when a light is shining, it's obvious, right? It's obvious. It should change the way the whole room or the whole house feels if the light is on. In verse 16, he says, let your light shine before others. Why? So that they can see your good deeds and just praise you. No, so they can see your good deeds, but ultimately glorify God. Amen?
Amen.
That you're pointing people to see that God is awesome through your awesome deeds that are only possible because of God. Amen? So it is about you, but at the same time, it's not about you. Right? It's like God wants you to shine, but only for his glory and not your glory. So people can come to know him and praise him.
Yeah.
But he says, you are the light of the world. We don't deserve this responsibility to shine Christ's light, right? We don't deserve this. Our job, though, is to shine as Christians. But I want to ask you, how's your light? How's your light? Are you shining? Are you an obvious beacon of light, or are you hiding it under a bowl? You know, I grew up singing that song in church. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let. And I got pretty tired of that song. I believe in that song more than ever before, and I'm 24, and I'm like, we need to sing this song. There's a lot of truth in this song. But we need to care more about shining Jesus' light than shining our own light.
Right.
Amen? We need to be more concerned about if we are actually standing out at our schools, and we should be less concerned if we're blending in or not.
Yeah.
Amen? We can't care about blending in. Why are we trying to blend in? With what? Sin? We're not meant to blend in. You are meant to stand out. Amen? To shine Christ's light. To bear God's image. To be his image bearers and to show the world who he is by your actions. By the way you live your life.
Yeah.
Guys, you were made to shine. Nothing less than that. Really listen to me on this. Your life carries the same significance as Jesus' life because you carry the very same message that he carried. And you might be like, Mark, did you just say that my life is just as important as Jesus' life? I just said that.
Wow.
Because you're offering what he offered to people. Salvation. You're bringing a message that Jesus brought, and he said, you're my ambassador, and I'm counting on you. I'm not here anymore. Yes, I give you my spirit, but I need you to go be my light. Your life is important. What you do with your time matters, and the way you act around people is of utmost importance because people need to be saved.
Yeah.
People are lost. People don't need to see how great we are. They need to see how great God is through us.
Yeah.
Amen? So how can you be a light this spring semester? I'm just going to give some examples and practicals, and then Matt's going to come up. But in what ways can you shine bright this semester? Maybe it's class or school. Maybe it's sharing with your classmates that you're going to sit next to for the next 3 to 4 months. You got to share with them. You got to let them know about midweek, Jesus, Bible talk. You got to make friends in these classes. How else can you be a light in class? Help people with their homework. Or ask people for help and be humble and get help with your homework. You can be a great student. And as you walk into class and everyone's complaining about the test, you know what you're going to do? You're not going to complain. And you're going to say, dude, this test, it sucks, right? No, they said 2 months ago we're going to have it. I was kind of ready for it, actually. This guy, you know. But it's like, you know what I'm talking about? You in a class and the whole vibe is always like, why do we got to be here? It's like, are you not trying to go to college? Did you not just, I don't know, I'm kind of here because I'm trying to get a degree. But don't complain. Be a light. Be like, I'm grateful, dude. There's people in developing nations that would die or give a limb to have the education you have. Stop complaining. Be grateful. And that shines in that atmosphere. And hey, people might be like, I don't like this guy. He's kind of, you know, he loves school too much. But hey, amen. Jesus had haters. Another way you can be a light is at work. Raise your hand if you work somewhere. Yeah? How's it going being a light at work? Do people know that you love Jesus at work? Do people know that you love the Bible at work? Here's some things you can do at work. You can encourage your coworkers. Just say, hey, it's good to see you. How's your day going? You can ask them, hey, is there anything I could be praying for you about? Yes. Oh, no one's asked me that in a long time. Wow. Do you go to church or something? Yeah, I do. I'm a Christian. Simple thing like that. We got to be lights at work. You know, being a hard worker at work, that wins the respect of people, man. If your boss tells you to do something, you do it. Being a hard worker. How's it going being a light at work? Here's the tough one. You ready for this? How's it going at home? How's it going at home being a light? Are you the same person here as you are at home with your family? I know I wasn't for a while in my life. Are you serving your family around the house? Are you a servant in your household? Are you asking your parents or your siblings? Are you taking interest in their lives and trying to shine in that way? Have you invited your family to church? Do you plan time? Just say, hey, mom and dad, I want you to know this is my family time with you guys. I know I'm young. I know I hang out with my friends a lot, but this is my family time because I'm not too busy for my family. Amen? And obviously, we can be praying for our families to find Jesus. And we also got to use our gifts to be lights. Every single one of you guys has God-given gifts. Amen. That God says, I want you to use that gift so you can bring people to heaven with you. You know, I appreciate Tristan stepping up. Where's Tristan?
Hey,
Tristan. So, Tristan, he said, listen, I love music. I love singing. I'm going to lead some worship songs. I said, here you go, dude. Here's some more songs. But he's using his gift. He's shining his light. Amen. And so I just want to encourage you guys with that. I want to close out with a quote, and then Matt's going to come up. Just listen to this. It's one of my favorite quotes. It says, our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We are all meant to shine, as children do. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It's not just in some of us, it's in everyone. And as we let our light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. Isn't that powerful? So Matt's going to come up and talk about how Jesus says, I'm full of grace and truth, and how when we are people full of grace and truth, we can really be these lights that Jesus wants us to be. Amen?
Amen.
But I want you guys to think about, how are you going to be a light? And learn from Matt about how you can live out grace and truth as well. Amen?
Amen.
Give it up for Matt, everybody. Come on.
So
guys doing?
Good.
Still awake?
Yeah.
Man, it's Wednesday for me, and I feel like it's Sunday night. I don't even know what it is. It's like Monday morning. I'm tired. Maybe you are too. That's okay. We're together. We're doing this. What I want to share is brief and to the point, but we're going to jump right into it. So Mark said that we are the light of the world. It means that Jesus in John 1 said, I am the light of the world. And then in Matthew 5, he says, no, actually, you also are the light of the world. The Greek is the same. The language is the same. Jesus' job is your job. You take his place. I had a light bulb this morning. I woke up at 6 a.m. to have my quiet time. And I'm in there, and I'm like, let me take a couple minutes to fix this light bulb in my room. Now, I thought I was going to start my quiet time right away. And 7 o'clock rolls around. 7:15, and my light bulb still isn't working. It's one of the smart bulbs.
Oh.
And so I just gave up. I was like, this light bulb, these smart functions that I'm trying to do in my office right now are worthless. Right? That light bulb was defective. I didn't spend like 1:15. There was coffee in there, and there's other things. But I had this light bulb that was defective. It was a gift. And it was a terrible gift because it didn't work. Now, here's the difference, though, about your light bulb. About you being light of the world, is that you are not, if you are a disciple of Jesus, if you are baptized into Jesus, you are the light of the world. There's no changing that. You're not a defective light bulb.
Yeah.
You're not a light bulb that's off. You are a light bulb that is always on.
Come on, bro.
And in Matthew 5, the only difference about a broken light bulb in you is that you don't switch off. Instead, we cover our light bulb. You're always on. But it's up to you. Am I going to uncover the light that God's given me?
Come on, bro.
Or am I going to keep the light back on?
Come on, man.
Yes. Or I'm going to keep the light covered, whatever it is. We got to live as Jesus made us to live, is uncovered. Now, John 1:17 here, as we continue the scripture, really simple scripture. I think that's going to set the context for us. But it says, for the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. A light burst out right through Mark's window, but in this world, a light burst through into the darkness, and that was Jesus. And in that light wasn't just, direction. It was grace, and it was truth that Jesus burst into this world bringing. And if we are going to be like Jesus, we too need to be filled, overflowing, pouring out with grace and truth, just like Jesus did.
That's right.
And we got to figure out, what does that look like? How do I get filled with grace? And I think we can be a little narrow. I can be a little narrow-minded in my understanding of grace here. We've been working through on Sundays, you're hearing sermons about grace roots. On Wednesdays, we're hearing messages about grace roots. But I think grace, we're still not done talking about it. Grace is certainly what Jesus did on the cross, taking our place for us. But what's the definition of grace? One of the definitions that work for grace is an unmerited favor. It's giving something to someone that they do not deserve.
Right.
And so in one sense, Jesus gave grace in the place of taking our place. But even further than that, Jesus gave grace by showing unmerited favor to the people who did not deserve that. It was the destitute, the homeless, the sad, the prostitute, the child, the woman, the robber, the Samaritan. The persons who absolutely didn't owe Jesus anything were the exact people that Jesus showed grace to. Our classmates on campus, when you walk on campus, you don't owe anybody anything. Can I get a, oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
I said, back off, I don't owe you anything. Oh, but hold on one second. You're full of grace and you're full of truth. You don't owe anybody anything, but because of the grace inside you, you show unmerited favor to the people around you.
That's right.
Amen.
You care about the people that don't care about you. You show favor to people that may never know you. But that's what grace is. And in fact, that's what Jesus brought. Let's go through this together here. When you see this logo, what's the first thing that comes to your mind?
Chipotle.
Chipotle. Here we go.
Chick-fil-A.
Here we go. So you see the logo, and immediately a word is associated with it. What's next?
Nike.
Just do it.
Just do it. Right? They did a really good job with their logos. How about this one?
Let's go, Red Hawks!
We already did that one.
That wasn't William Patterson. That's bias. That's just love. Okay. We have to show favor to the schools that deserve less favor. That's all.
Right.
Amen! Okay.
What does this have to do with anything? I actually have nothing to do with this. You know, logos are a powerful thing. You look at a logo, and with it, you know that old idiom, a picture is worth a thousand words. A logo is associated with so much more than just a picture. It's a company, it's its brand. Yeah. You see Chipotle, and maybe your mouth starts watering, right? I know, I'm watering a little bit over here. It's like, that's what a logo does. Let me ask you a different question. What do you see when you see this? Hey.
Whoa.
Hey.
Hey.
Hey. I just want to see Daniel Veloso's face again. That's the next picture.
Come on.
What do you see when you see this? What do you immediately associate with this picture?
Family.
Okay, family. Let's read a scripture. John 13:35.
Come on, Matt.
You write it down, you think about it. But it says, by this, Jesus says, by this, all men will know that you are my disciples by the way you love one another.
Amen.
Your discipleship, who you are, ought to be synonymous with love. Ought to be synonymous with grace. Unmerited favor. You know, you walk around the campus, you walk around your classroom, you walk around your household, and people just associate you with love. Mm. That's who Jesus was. People hated him, but also so many people associated him with love. That's who he was. So how do we do this? How do we become people who bring grace and truth just like Jesus did?
Come on, help us out, bro.
Well, I think Matthew 9:38 sums it up real good. We think about this I pray this scripture every single night at 9:38, Matthew 9:38. Grail and I pray this together. But I think this is bigger than just evangelism. It says in Matthew 9:38, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field.
Come on.
You know, I don't think Jesus looked out into the crowd and saw, wow, look at all the people who are going to be my disciple. Definitely people in that crowd became his disciple. Crowd of 4,000, 5,000, certainly. But I think what Jesus saw, he looked out to the crowd and saw every person is in need of something.
Yeah.
Guys, we are understaffed. Ask the Lord of the harvest because there are so many people with so many needs. Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah, spiritual needs, true, but physical needs, emotional needs. And what I love about Jesus was he saw the crowds. My dad is a people watcher. You know, my dad, my parents were divorced, and my dad would take me, when he had time with my brother and I, he'd take us to Costco, and the free samples were amazing. Anyone been to Costco before?
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, we would sit down, and we'd have some pizza, the really cheap pizza and hot dogs, and my dad would go, Matt, we're going to people watch for a little bit. My dad, this is so dumb. I'm like 10 years old. And we would literally sit there, and we would just talk about people as they walked by. I don't know if we would judge them or what. We'd just look at them and go, wow, she's probably pregnant. You know what I mean? Like, wow, look at those kids. They're terrible. I don't know. But we would people watch. And we took the focus off of our immediate self. We looked up, and we looked at people. We tried to stare at people. Maybe get to know their story a little bit. Have some empathy for them, and mostly to judge them. But Jesus was a people watcher. Now, Jesus didn't go to his class with his head down and his headphones on. Jesus looked up and looked around.
Come on, man.
He stopped to see the people around him. You know, I think for us to be people of grace means that we got to start looking. We got to start looking and really seeing. You know, I was in the cafeteria at CCM, and as I was putting the final touches on my lesson, I was looking around, and I kind of stopped, and I was like, maybe I should practice this right now. And I looked up, and I saw a table of alpha men, you know, those studs talking about, dude, you gonna pass the rock to me, man? What's the last time you played basketball? I was like, what are you guys doing, you know? But I stopped to look, and I was like, you know what, that guy over there, he looks a little insecure. And I didn't just see machismo, I saw a little hurt in there.
Yeah.
I'm not judging, but that put me in a position of, well, now I have something to offer. Maybe now I can extend my grace, my unmerited favor, by talking to this guy. You know, I can't be super practical here because your life, you guys love Jesus. I'm really not afraid of giving the explanation of what to do, because when you're in the moment and you're looking, your heart is awesome. You're going to do what you know you got to do.
Amen.
But you got to keep your eyes open and look. That's so critical. And I think part of that too, what Mark was saying, is you got to ask. You got to ask, how are you doing? I appreciate Allison Jones does this. I feel like she does this often. I really appreciate it. How are you doing? Okay. How are you really doing? Right? It's cutting through to see, how are you really? And that's what Jesus did. Because at that point, he then extended grace. Notice that it's grace and truth. It's not grace or truth.
Right.
Yeah.
I do think the order is important, too. It's because people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care.
Come on, man. Let's go.
So Jesus brought the truth, but what did he bring first?
Grace.
He performed many miracles before he went out and began preaching. That's so powerful for us. And so, yes, we need to be people extending grace. Amen. But then we also need to be people extending truth. Mm-hmm. I'll keep this point very short. But think about this like this. Extending truth is hard,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, that's when you see something, you say something, there's a brother, there's a sister, there's a guy or girl in your life who's just doing something that isn't good. And you kind of want to confront them, but you're afraid to confront them because maybe you don't know how to do it, whatever that reason might be. We're afraid of being too harsh. That's a real thing in our campus ministry. We're afraid of being too harsh. I'm afraid of being too harsh, guys. But the truth is, being too harsh is just as equal to sin as being neglectful. When you see something and don't say something, I mean, if Brie and I had a kid and we had poopy diapers and we just left it alone and didn't take care of it because we didn't want to touch it, that's terrible parenting.
Right, yeah.
Right? Neglect is just as equal as sin. You know, we got to be people here, just as the scripture says, who is full of grace and truth. The greatest love that we can show people, yes, is serving them, giving them rides, extending them love and fellowship and whatever those things are. But the greatest way that you can love someone is by telling them the truth. In regard to evangelism, it's seeing the people around you and saying, you know what, I can take my love right here and just hit something. How do you do that? Hey man, I want to tell you about the Bible talk we're having. One conversation can change someone's eternity.
Yes.
That's true. That is the greatest, most potent way that you can love somebody.
I want it.
Amen.
I know.
We got to be people who are full of grace and truth. We got to be people who are laser focused, who are filled up with God's grace and filled up with God's truth, because it's going to result in us overflowing with that love and with that grace towards others. But as Mark said before, I think in our last lesson, is that it requires intentionality. You got to be looking for the brokenness. You got to be looking to see where people really are. Because when you see the crowds and harassed and helpless, Then you pray to the Lord of the harvest, let's send out workers into the harvest field. Amen. Let's pray together.
Amen.
Our God and Father, you are amazing. And we are so grateful that you gave us Jesus. You know, imagine our lives in this room if we try to do all the commands with no Jesus. If there was no example, if there was no forerunner, if we didn't have him, it would be a really difficult time. But instead, you give us Jesus. You give us the same responsibility as him. And Lord, my temptation, I know our temptation, is to take our light and hide it under a bowl. To take our light and try to find a dimmer on it or try to do something, but God, you've given each one of us here so much potential that's bursting from the seams. And we pray that you give us the passion, the energy, and ultimately the vision to release the light that you've given us. Change us so that we can change and help change the people around us. In your son's name we pray, amen.
Amen. So you guys can stand up. We do have a baptism going down tonight.